Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. So good to see you in the Lord's house. You're looking good. Looks like you had a good week, and you look joyful and cheerful this morning, and we're so glad of that. Isn't it good that God has blessed us such a wonderful way, and he gives us these opportunities to come once again together and just to praise him and thank him, and we're so glad that you are here to do that. And so let us come together this morning and just be so thankful and so grateful that we have a great God and we have good people here that associate with, and it's just great. I want to share just a couple of lines here from you. I cried unto God with my voice, even to God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Isn't it wonderful that God, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, has made it possible that we can speak to God, and then we can know that he hears us and listens. In the day of my trouble, I sought thee, Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes, waketh. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligently speech. Search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone from ever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgiven and forgotten to be gracious? Hath he angered and shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And so that is what you call a rhetorical question, really, as he says, because he says, no, God's not going to forget us. No, God's not going to leave us alone. No, God's not going to quit blessing us. He's with us all the time. Let's praise him for it.
For him of worship is born in here. 119, singing the first and fourth verse, and I'll have the prayer. That's all I'm saying. 118, yeah.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in silence stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For lo, prophesying of old, when with the ever's earthling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall the Prince of Peace their King, and the
Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity you've granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us through the further exercise of the service. Guide and guard and direct us and save us in the ends, our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Now for our next communion hymn, we're going to use number 154, first and last.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful, dear God, that you provide for us so abundantly. You make it possible for us, Heavenly Father, to earn. You make it possible for us to have means to live on, Heavenly Father. And then we have left over, Heavenly Father. So we don't bring just our leftovers, but we bring a portion of what you've blessed us with and share it back to the kingdom. Heavenly Father, that your word would go forth from here, that Heavenly Father, this offering would be used to better the ministry here in this community and to take care of the things here around the church. We're so thankful for those who so give so generously and help in such a wonderful way. We pray your blessing upon each and every one, Heavenly Father, those who have and those who have not. And we pray, Heavenly Father, those who have not will be able then to have what others have. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Okay, in an announcement way, I did announce last week that we were going to start our Bible study in January, but if you'll bear with me, we're going to have to go one more week off. Because next week we'll be leaving and going down to Cumberland to the minister's retreat. And so we'll start the second week off. What? No? All right. Then we had dismissed our Friday night thing in January. We usually do that. It looks like the weather's going to be good, but oftentimes we're hindered by the weather, so we usually do that. And then it's right in the holiday season. Middle of the week, this week, you're going to have another holiday and celebration and so forth, and the families will be going back and forth, so we don't know who's all there, so we'll dismiss our Friday night thing for this month. We'll be back in, hoping to see everybody in good stead next month. And, Omar, I don't know whether you saw him or not, but we got a new set of cornhole in there.
Now we do.
Yeah, and, Ron, someone gave them to Ron and Tina, and so they didn't have meat for them, so they give them to the church. So we'll have a Kentucky cornhole game. They got Kentucky name on them. All right, anything else taking place? And as we turn over to our prayer list, and I didn't have time, I got this bulletin here, and I brought mine that I have, and I wanted to try to get updated on some of it. And so right off, Donna, you can take Shirley Hoffman off, and Johnny Jacobs can go off, and Betty Keetering can go off. They're doing well, doing all right. Let's see, who else would I have on there? I tried to make contact with all these that have on my own list. And let's see, do we have new ones on our new list? Okay. Yeah, Billy Wilson, as some of you probably know, Joe Carroll and Billy went to Florida to get some further treatment or see what they could do with Joe Carroll. And Billy had a heart attack this week, and they put a couple stents in. And so hopefully then things are going okay, you know. Isn't it wonderful how that, I have to say, the Lord works through doctors, you know. I said something here a week or two ago, I think, that might have made it sound like that I was putting the doctors down, but Tina, I wasn't at all, because it's a wonder how God uses doctors in a great way to help people. So I'm very thankful for the doctors who spend those years and training and so forth to be able to be used, I guess is a good way to put it, be used in helping God's people. Yeah.
I talked to Judy Fuller last night. Billy is out of the hospital, and he has to have some rehab. He was doing pretty good. Joe Carroll has seen a cancer doctor. She likes him very well. They've sent all her records to the lady there, and she's going to run her test. So they seem to be pleased with what's going on. And I think some of Billy's kids are there, because I had talked to Judy's daughter the other night, and she said somebody went down, and I'm assuming it was one of Billy's kids.
Of course, they got some people that they know from here, Wendell Cox and his wife's there, and Bobby House and his wife are there, and they all congregate.
One of his children.
We could go Saturday night. They were having a big domino party, and I was talking to them in there. Yeah, and so thank you for that information. Things are going. Your brother and sister?
My sister's still pretty sore, but she's doing all right. My brother didn't get a real good report. The blood clots are not dissolving as they should, so we need to.
Okay, Tina says her dad's still doing fairly well. He's not been back in the hospital for the last few weeks, so that's great. That was a thing. He was in and out and in and out there for a while, wasn't he? So that's great. And Doodle, I meant to ask you about
Vernon.
Isn't that awful?
Vernon.
About the same. All right. And who else? Okay. We certainly do not just pick out one of the two or some are here to talk about, because all these are important. And as we get information, we like to share it with you. And so, but just keep your list. I mean, you can do like I do. I mean, just take it out and you can mark and so forth and mark all over and tell what's going on with some people and keep that with you and pray for those people. It's so good to hear the reports of how God is working in people's lives. And we know and they've experienced His hand working in our lives, and that's great. Okay, and the service people in care homes, just so many people that we need to have in our minds and our hearts and our prayers. And some of these people we are close to and we can help them in some way or another. But as we always said, you can help all of them in prayer. So praise the Lord and keep praying for them. As we come to our prayer time, let's be very grateful.
Our neighbor, Phyllis Bruin, she's in the hospital.
Okay. And also this Dale Mutterman down here on Indian Creek, I understand it's real bad. So that's some of your neighbors here. So
Debbie and Joanne are still sick.
They are both sick. Okay. All right. So look around. There's a couple missing, a couple three missing in our congregation, and pray for them, whatever's taking place in their life.
Our prayer hymn is number 117, and Doodlebug will have her prayer. That's all I'm saying. Hymn be number 338, and this time now the choir brings special.
I'll remind you that last week I told you, and maybe somebody here that wasn't here last week, I want to remind you that starting Tuesday, I'm starting to read through the Bible this year. And if you wanted to do that with us, Well, I put get one of the sheets back there. It's got the schedule on it for what you read each day. If there's not any back there, I don't see back there. I can get Robert to run some off real quick after a while. Oh, he won't. Well, I'll run some off for you. Okay. And want you to have them. So hopefully that you'll take that time. And maybe if you've got a reading program, you just go on with it, you know, and so forth. But if you don't have, there's a list, and you can use that. And we'll read together through the, and be able then sometimes to have some conversation of what's taking place. Hey, Ryan, I forgot to announce. We got a visitor here with us this morning. My buddy Ryan back there. Come to stay with Grandma and Grandpa a day or two. Visit to, and see the new year come in. That'll be great. I'm not making New Year's resolutions, but I made one for you all, you know. You know, and, you know, I just hope all of you gain 10 pounds. Yeah. So I can look a little thinner. Yeah. Okay. Revelation, you won't have to open your Bible there if you don't want to. Revelation 21 and 5. I kind of just borrowed that for the message today. But it does have a lot of truth to it here. He says, and it goes like this. And he that sat upon the throne, speaking of the God, and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, I know he's speaking about the end time and so forth and such, but those words are true ever since God has existed. He's been constantly making and blessing his people. So I borrowed them for the New Year's message here. That he makes all things new, and he can do that, and he has done that, and he can do that. And so every entrance of the new year we have, you know, about the same old ritual. People go to big parties, some dress up, some dress down, some don't hardly dress at all, and some get drunk and have a mess and all that stuff. And when the bell falls, when the ball falls, when the midnight strikes and the ball falls, it comes to mind to about everybody, I think, that it's a grand time to start things new, to a new start and so forth. The Lord God gives us opportunity after opportunity to make new starts. And I've taken it out of yearly. I got it down to monthly one time. Now it's weekly that I make a new start. But it's wonderful. He has a time, and it's a good time, isn't it? A new year and a new time, a time to start new and so forth. And so it marks a time when people in the world, they just feel like, you know, it's a time that I think is a refreshing time. A time that we think, well, the old is past and the new is here and we're going to experience new things and so forth. And we are. I really do believe that God has new things. I know the writer of Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have new things for us and new ways and new things and new joys and new privileges for us, and which he really does. And so in the new year, I want to encourage you here. And as we begin a new year, you know, I anticipate what the future holds, what we will experience at the time. And it's a good time to make new beginnings. It seems, you know, it seems like too many people want to just cling to the old and want to just kind of change things by rearranging things somewhat. They like the good old days, but you know, the old, good old days is gone. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the childhood I had, the bringing up and the parents I had and the family I've come up with and so forth. I'm thankful for all that, you know, but I don't want to go back and live that, you know. I call them the good old days. I mean, I haven't had any better days. I mean, I fair to say that. I've had so many good days. I mean, and good things in life. But when I was growing up back over in the holler there, and when it seems like just, that was just a small world back there, that things were so good. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of life and what I've experienced and been blessed with, you know. But, yeah, I don't want to go back to those things and that we did a long time ago. And I'm always looking for the new things that God has in for our life. He brought together new people, he says. Lee, I'm going to have new people. And you're some of the new people that God has. You know, he destroyed all the old people in the flood. when new people, for the new people. And he brings new things. He said, I'm going to take you to a new land, he told Israel, the Israelites. We're overflowing with milk and honey. In other words, he said, I'm going to take you to a new place. You're going to experience new things. You're going to experience things you haven't had anything to do with. And I believe that has happened here. I believe it will happen here. I believe that you'll experience things that you won't, that have just come upon you. They'll just come upon you. And God does that. He works that way. And I look forward to that. Just, you know, with anticipation. God, what are you going to do for me today? What are you going to, where are you going to take me? What are we going to experience next week, this year? And I'm just excited about what God might do for us as individuals and as a church this coming year. And I look forward to some new things, different things that will happen, that he'll work in our lives. And he's the one that do it. He said, I will make. He can do that. And so, I you know, Tuesday, the church calendar will turn over, and so it flips, and it's begun a new year, and it's an opportunity for us as a church and individuals to make new starts. And last year, you know, 2018, they were, we kind of mixed, you know. We had joys, and then we had sorrows, and we had good things happen. We had some things that didn't happen, and such. So those things are in the past, and I think we want to just leave them in the past and so forth. 2019 is a great opportunity for us. You know, and one of the things it is, we enter into this new year, it's a great opportunity for us to renew our relationship with God. I think we ought to take time to think, you know, kind of meditate on the year and how things went and what God did on our life, and then bring things into right perspective between us and God. Renew our relationship with God. I think it's time that we can seek a closer walk with Jesus. I don't know. I feel like, you know, that there's always a opportunity. There's always a necessity. We can always draw closer to God. And the scripture teaches us in a way, you know, that Jesus is just closest to us as breath. But yet, you know, seems like sometimes we walk at a distance and we just want to, you know, it's a great time to just kind of commit yourself and say, this year, I know last year I kind of walked away in a few times and so forth. I'm just going to commit to walk closer to him, seek God in my life. And I think it's a good time, and it's an opportunity for us to be better people, a better person, a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better child. All those are open to us right now. It doesn't make any difference how good things were last year or how bad things were last year. You know, there's new things and things can go. The bad things can be made better. You experience the better things this year. And so we don't want to dwell back there with those. And so the new year is a good time to improve us as individuals. And I think the new year is a good time for us to improve our relationship with the church. And I say with the church. And I think it's a grand opportunity to commit to being a part of the service of the church, of serving with the church and doing the things with the church. There's a lot of difference in just being at the church and then serving out of the church and such. And so hopefully that, you know, it's a great opportunity. You say, well, last year I maybe should have been a part of this or should have done that or something. And this year I'm just going to do that and commit to do that. And so this year we can commit ourselves, you know, to serving the Lord and the church in a greater degree. And then there's no better time than to start the new year off receiving Jesus, being baptized to him, and getting on the high road to heaven, you know. I like that song, The High Road to Heaven, you know. Walking on the high road, and that's what God's people do. Many, many opportunities for us. As the new year opens up to us, there'll be opportunities, there'll be doors open that we didn't expect and to open and so forth, so I look for it to be a good year, and I look for God to do wonderful things for his people here. And the new year is an opportunity, and to take advantage of what God sets before us. Who knows? Do you know what God has for you tomorrow? Hell, not totally. Do you know what God has for you in store for you for next week? No, you don't, you know. You just trust him and look to him and just with anticipation. waiting and seeing what God's going to do with you, for you, and such. What a wonderful time it is. But there's one sure thing that we do not want to do. We do not want to go back and brag the old things up. Those things that of last year that we suffered and those things that we didn't happen and so forth, just leave them back there. Just let's leave it all in the old year and walk into this new year and experience great things. Don't focus on the past. Too many people do. And you know that. Many people's lives are not what they can be or should be because they dwell on the things of the past. And when you go to dwelling on the things of the past, you usually pull up the sad things, the things that didn't happen, the things that you'd wished had happened, and so forth. But when you look to the future, focus on the future and focus on Him who can make all things new. Look to the one who can do, that can make things happen. You can make a lot of things happen. And there's a lot of things you can do. But you can't make things happen and do things that God can make happen and do in your life if you'll just let Him do it and anticipate Him doing it and be free from Him doing it. Don't look back. We need to look forward to the things. We need to look to Him. We can make the future go well. He can make all things new, and I really believe that scripture. I could have found some other scriptures that talks about the new things in life, you know, but Jeremiah 29:11, most of we've talked about that many, many times, and He says, I know the thoughts, gets God speaking, I know the thoughts that I have for you, you know, not to do you harm, not to do evil, but do good. And I had that 1 year, if you remember, 1 year I tried to get you to memorize that several years back and so forth. But the thing of that is, God is saying, those things in the past that, you know, that just happened and so forth that seemed to be evil to you, I'm not to work those things. Those things happen. I want to work new things for you. You just don't imagine what God has in store, He says, for you. And so He says that, you know, my thoughts, my peace, and not to do you evil, but to do those things which are right and proper and good for you that you can experience, you know. So we need to look on that. Philippians 3:13, and then this apostle Paul says, you know, he said, he looks at his past and he said, well, he said, all these things in the past, he said, I just lay them aside. And he said, I don't look at the past, I look at the future. He said, he presses on toward the high goal of calling of Christ Jesus. So that, you know, don't concentrate on those things that happened in the last year that you can do nothing about now. So I want to share with you about three things real quick that I think, you know, that possibly will help us. I know there's a lot of other things you'll think about, but I've got three things I just want to share with you and try to encourage you with that will make your new year a new year and new things will happen. And if we're going to experience new things and enjoy 2019 and experience new things, here's what we've got to do. Number one is, we got to forget our failures, forget our sin. And I'm not going to deal with sin very long, but I want you to know we do sin. But you know, God isn't real hard on us. God, if God is so ready and willing to forgive us, and that's what He says in 1 John 1:9, you know, 7-9, He talks about this. He says, you know, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, if He's quick to do that, why do we hang on to it? Why do we I think sometimes Christians, and maybe you've got caught up in that, that sometimes that you fail in something or you realize you've sinned and you think, well, God's gonna not like that. And God's not gonna bless me now, and I don't know. But we need to realize God is quick to forgive. And it's not that we can just go out and sin and sin and sin. He's quick to forgive. And if God is that good to forgive us, why be so hard on ourselves? And I really do believe that people, because I talk with people that I get this from, that they feel like they have sinned and they feel like that they have separated themselves from God and they can't enjoy. No. God's not that hard on you. You know, God has made it easy, really. It was hard on God to see his son go to the cross. It was hard on Jesus to go to the cross. They whipped him, they beat him, they spit upon him, and all sorts of things, nailed him to the cross. It was hard on him. But he made it easy for us. And so why take those things and make it hard on ourselves? So forget about our failures and our sin and just confess it and get on with it. God's got better things and good things to you. You know, if God is God more tolerant with you than you are with yourself? You're harder on yourself than God is, you know. If every drug addict, if every alcoholic, if every pornography person, if every thief, and if everybody realized that there is forgiveness and that one can work new things, make your life new, change you, you'll be a new person experiencing new things. If they could understand that, don't you think maybe that they would want that? Maybe we fail in sharing that with them to help them to realize and know that there's one that can make all things new, that can make good things happen, even though they're experiencing bad. God can clean them up and make good things happen. I don't know why Mary Magdalene comes to my mind for two reasons. Because I'm trying to find myself finding things that you haven't known that has been taught wrong or that can encourage you. And I think of Mary Magdalene when I think about sins and somebody in a state that has received this. You know, if many drug addicts and so forth could understand the life of Mary Magdalene, it would change their life. Mary Magdalene, she is probably, to my understanding, my thinking and my study, she is probably the second closest devoted person to Jesus Christ, other than the mother. She's always in a group of women. But Mary Magdalene has had a bad rap. And I think people, a lot of people who are caught up in sin, get a bad rap. You know, we said last week about the shepherds, you know. Everybody wants to classify all the shepherds as dirty, mean, thieves. And I hope you understood where I came from with the shepherds. And there is good shepherds. And I believe those, still believe those were godly shepherds. I believe that with all walks of life. Now, preachers want to bring a picture to your mind of Mary Magdalene as a prostitute. That's not so. That's not so. And stay with me and hopefully you'll see this just like you did with the shepherd people. There was three women who came in contact with Jesus, so to speak, that were either called sinners or implied sinners. And that was the lady at the well. Jesus didn't actually say, you're a sinner, but we know the implication was there. There was the lady that cried tears on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. She was not called a sinner, but the implication was that she had a bad name. And then there was the lady that was caught in adultery and the Pharisees brought her before Jesus and wanted to see how he would judge her. Those are three women. Two of them's not named, but neither one of them was Mary Magdalene. Now here's where I here's where I give Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, if you look in I think it's Matthew 27, 53 or somewhere along in there, it says, talks about the women. Many women were with followers of Jesus and they ministered. You will always find Mary Magdalene with other women, except one time, and she was, and she will be, and that was when she recognized Jesus or thought him to be the gardener. That's the only time that I find Mary Magdalene alone with Jesus. She's always in a group of people, group of women. Mary Magdalene had to be a lady of means, because she, along with the other women, Salome and so forth, they were from families that had means and they supported the disciples and Jesus as they went forth. Now here's where I get Mary Magdalene away from what preachers has accused her of. Everywhere you hear an immoral sexual statement given by Jesus, it will be named by sinner. The three women I just mentioned. But go to the lady caught in adultery, and here's what Jesus said. He called her a sinner. And by him calling her a sinner, and these, we know that the lady at the well, we know her relationship with, so she was in the pretty well the same stage. She's a sinner. The lady with the bad name that washed his feet with the tears, she was classified the same with the lady came with adultery. Jesus called them sinners, implied them to be sinners, because this is what he said. He told the lady who was caught in adultery, he said, as he wrote on the ground, you remember? And all the people left, and he said, where is your accusers? She said, there's none, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. So, Mary Magdalene's not in that group. Here's where Mary Magdalene is. In Luke 8 and 2, I believe it is, it says, or maybe in Matthew 27, 53 also, it speaks of Mary Magdalene, and it says that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her and infirmities. Mary Magdalene was possessed by some kind of demons, and she had some infirmities, and Jesus cast them out and healed them. Now, here's my proof. Nowhere in the scripture will you find where Jesus cast out demons, immoral sexuality attached to it. You with me? So that takes Mary Magdalene out of the class that many people wants her to put her in. The guy that was at Gadarene, the man in Gadarea, he was possessed with demons. He wasn't doing sexual activities, immoral sexual activities. What was he doing? Running through the tombs, harming himself. The little lad that was brought to Jesus, and the father says, will you help my son? He's got a demon, and it just throws him on the ground. Sometimes it throws him in the fire. No sexuality there. Everywhere you read the demons possessed, they're not of that. But Jesus said, immoral sexuality is sin. You with me? So I hope you will look at Mary Magdalene a little different. Mary Magdalene was different from what she's been portrayed. All right. But what I'm saying is this. She was possessed with demons. She had infirmities of the body somewhere, somehow. Jesus cured her, cast them out. And her life began new. And she walked with Jesus, with the crowd with Jesus from then on. She was at the cross. She was at the tomb when he sealed the tomb. She was at the tomb when he arose. always with other women, following Christ. So I paint a good picture for Mary Magdalene. But I want to say this, whatever was wrong with her, Jesus took them out of her life. And can you imagine Mary Magdalene with all the other women that followed along and saw what Jesus did? Don't you think that she rejoiced in that with all the others? Sure. Jesus can take people's lives regardless of what condition. He took the people who I mentioned, that the illicit sexual people, and cleaned them up and give them new life. Good start. The lady at the well, she took a new life on, boy. Things was never the same for her. We know that. The lady caught in adultery, I'm sure that she wasn't caught that way again. Just Jesus changes and brings new things in life, makes things happen for you in life. So forget about our failures and forget about our sins and just get on with life that God has in store for you. He's got something better than that for you. Secondly is this, and quickly, is forget about all the disappointments. Have any disappointments last year? I think everybody's hit with disappointments. It's easy to get negative, isn't it, when disappointment comes? And you get down. When you're all beaten down, you get negative-y and disappointed. And life is rough and tough. And there's a lot of people out there right now that they've just been beaten up. And they're depressed. And disappointments come. And they just now are in a low stage of life, so to speak. Not enjoying life. Not experiencing life. Simply because they have allowed their disappointments to get them down. Real quickly, here's somebody that got up on disappointments. Here's somebody that really should have been disappointed. I'm sure he was. If you remember old Jacob, boy, he was a bad actor for a while, for a long time. But he left home to save his life. And he said, we're going to get a wife and start a family and do our thing. And so he goes down to kinfolks Laban, and there's Rachel. It was love at first sight. And he had to have Rachel. That was the love of his life. And he was willing. Hey, think about this, Mike. I don't know. He was willing to work for her for 7 years. Yeah. Work hard labor on the farm of Laban for Rachel. That's love. He wanted her. And don't you think, the scripture says that the 7 year took place. At the end of the 7 years, a marriage took place. And don't you think when Jacob took that wife in, and when the sun began to shine the next morning, the morning after, and he rolled over and saw Leah, don't you think he was disappointed? He was disappointed. And that's a big exaggeration of disappointment, isn't it? But what'd he do? What'd he do? He passed that off. Passed that off. He still wanted the love of his life. And he said, I want Rachel. Laban said, work 7 more years. Rachel, he said, okay. You know, sometimes the best things in life comes right after a disappointment. They really do. Scripture, we find that happened several times where they could be disappointed. Some others I could talk to you about. Disappointments. Lead them back in the old year. Leave them in the past. Lastly and quickly is this. stupid decisions. You ever make a stupid decision? We do, don't we? I mean, they're just simply stupid. I don't know how many times I just have to stop and say, Benny, that was a stupid thing to do. God, I know it was stupid. And we make stupid decisions. And we just need to lay them aside and go on. How many people do you know that has learned their lives, they've or ended them because of a bad decision? That don't have to happen. How many people do you know when they reach the crossroad in their life, they take the wrong turn and end up regretting it? Bad decision. One of the things we need to do in order to make good decisions, we need to spend a lot of time in prayer. A lot of time in prayer. Talk to God about it. You know, isn't it something? We make a decision and it doesn't go the way we want it to go, and then we talk to God about it, don't we? Why don't we just talk to God before we make the decision? I don't know. Maybe that's what we need to do. Decisions are this. Good decisions. There's good decisions, and they're smart and healthy and positive ones. There's bad decisions. They're stupid, unhealthy, negative ones. And there's big decisions and there's small decisions. Now, big decisions we only make once in a while in life. Small decisions we make every day. And I was reading and I forgot, I should have wrote it down. It said we make so many thousand decisions every day. Think about that. If we're making that many decisions, we ought to be concerned about how we're making these decisions, shouldn't we? Here's an example of a big, bad decision. You marry the wrong person. You rob a bank. We had a mayor in Williamstown one time, and boy, they really downed him. And I feel sorry for him, because at that time they just downed him. They disliked him because he beat out somebody else that they liked so well. And they dogged him and everything else. And he was so discouraged and so depressed, I guess, so forth. And he went and robbed a bank. Well, he spent 5 years down here somewhere in Kentucky in prison for it. But, you know, I mean, those are big, bad decisions, you know. And those has a lot to do with your life. And so the big, bad decisions can really mess your life up. And big bad decision. I'll throw this one in there. Big bad decision is when the young lady has a kid that she's not ready for. Big bad decision. See, because big decisions affects your life, your whole life, your complete life. If you make a bad decision, marry the wrong person, that's going to affect you all your life. If you rob a bank, it's going to be with you all your life. If you have a child before you're ready and in the proper ways and so forth, it's going to be with you the rest of your life. So we need to be careful about the big decisions we make. Big, little ones, they add up. What would you call Eve? What was her decision? I think Eve made a bad decision. Maybe you might have said Eve made a stupid decision. I don't know. But I think about the ones that makes good decisions also. Joseph, when he was approached by Potiphar's wife, he could have made a big, bad decision. But what did he do? He made the right decision. And look how his life then was blessed, even though he suffered things along. Do you suppose that he had any idea that he would be governor of Egypt and he would keep his father and family from starving and the whole world in that time, I guess, from starving? No, I don't think so. If he had made that big bad decision right there at Potiphar's house, it would have affected him. And what good would he have really done then for the rest of life? Big, smart decisions, the healthy ones, the positive ones, the best decisions, the healthy decisions, the prosperous decisions are all made about Jesus. This is about Jesus. Jesus was the most positive person that ever walked the earth. And he teaches his people to be positive about living. And I'm not talking about some of this positive stuff that you hear on television and all this stuff. But Jesus was very positive about your life. What did he say? I have come. You know it, don't you? I have come that you might have life. In other words, he's saying, you know, when he's talking about life, that you might enjoy living. So he's positive about your life. Yeah, so we need to think about those things and think on those things. Let's face it, friends, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all failed. And there's not a person in this room here that hasn't suffered disappointments. Every one of us has made one or more stupid mistakes, stupid decisions. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we know, and we know that you know, we have failed. We have sinned. We have been disappointed, and we have made stupid mistakes, stupid decisions. We pray, Heavenly Father, you forgive us of those, cleanse us from them, and help us, Almighty God, to honor you with our lives. Help us to follow closely to Jesus. And it is his name that we ask this help in this new year to experience all the new things that you have in store for his people. Thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to make a new start, any way, shape, or fashion, you might want to say, I really want to start with Jesus. I've just left him out. It's the best time. It's the greatest time for you to do that. And maybe you might say, well, I haven't been walking as close to Jesus as I ought to, and I'm going to just commit myself to doing that. I don't want to make all these stupid decisions I've made. I don't want to be disappointed by some of the things that I experience. I don't want to fail, and I don't want to sin. So the closer we are to Jesus, the less we'll do. Be close to Jesus in whatever you do as we stand, sing. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house, and I won't see you again until next year. And but I hope in that short time that you will receive the blessings of God and you will trust in and you will look to him who will make all things new in this coming year for you. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, How good it is to know that we have a God like you, a God of love, God of compassion, who ministers to us good things and works out good things. Let us trust you for them. Let us walk into this new year with anticipation that you're going to work things in our lives that we have never experienced before that'll be good for us and those around us. Help us, Almighty God, to walk close to Jesus throughout this new year, and all things will be well, we know. Now bless each one here, Heavenly Father. Grant them safety throughout this week. Heavenly Father, grant good things to them, we pray, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.